This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Using data and market evidence to justify your anchor. How to set a credible opening position that holds up under pressure. In short, an anchor in negotiation is only as powerful as the evidence that stands behind it. A number without justification is just a wish. Build your opening position from real market data, and the negotiating range shifts in your favour before the other party says a word. Gather specific, recent, verifiable comparables before you name any figure. Frame your anchor as a conclusion drawn from evidence, not a demand made from desire. When challenged, return to the data calmly. That is where your strength lies. Definition: anchoring in negotiation is the practice of setting an opening position, typically a number or a stated value, that becomes the psychological reference point around which all subsequent offers and concessions are measured. The first figure name tends to pull the final outcome toward it. A man I knew spent 3 months preparing for a contract renewal. He knew his value. He had done good work. He walked into the room and named his number with genuine confidence, and the client smiled politely and offered 40% less. He had no evidence ready, nothing to point to, no comparables, no market benchmarks, no supporting data. Just his conviction, which counts for very little when the other person holds the checkbook. He accepted a figure far below what the market would have supported, because he could not prove what the market would have supported. That is what happens when you anchor without justification. Using data and market evidence to justify your anchor is not a trick. It is the difference between making a claim and making a case. This article gives you a concrete process for building anchors that hold up under pressure, that shift the negotiating range before the conversation even gains momentum, and that earn respect rather than inviting dismissal. Why anchoring without evidence fails so consistently? The first number in a negotiation exerts real gravitational pull. Both parties know this, and the person across the table has almost certainly heard high anchors before. An unsupported opening figure does not impress them. It signals one of two things: either you do not know the market, or you're hoping they do not. Neither impression serves you. The deeper problem is psychological. When you anchor without evidence, you feel it yourself. Somewhere underneath the confident posture, there is a quiet uncertainty. The other party senses that uncertainty faster than you expect. One probing question and the anchor starts to drift. A justified anchor is different in kind, not just in degree. When your opening position is tied to specific market data, you're not defending an opinion. You are describing a finding. That changes everything about how you hold the position and how the other party has to respond. What you need before you name a number. The process I'm about to give you depends on one thing being in place first. You must do the preparation before you sit down, not during. Scrambling for evidence after your anchor has already been challenged is a losing position. The data needs to be in your hand before you open your mouth. That means three things. You need to know the relevant market, including recent comparable transactions, published rates, or industry benchmarks for what you're negotiating. You need a clear picture of your own target, meaning the outcome you genuinely need, not just what you would prefer. And you need to know your walkaway point so you can anchor boldly without accidentally painting yourself into a corner. For more on how preparation affects your composure when pressure builds, the principles and how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation apply directly here. The step-by-step process for building a justified anchor. Step 1. Identify the specific market you are in. Do not research the broad category. Research the specific transaction. If you are negotiating a software development contract in Belfast, you need rates for software development contracts in Belfast or the closest comparable geography at this scale in the past 12 months. Generic national averages give you a soft foundation. Collect 3 to 5 specific comparables where possible. Published salary surveys, industry pricing databases, publicly listed contract awards, and professional association benchmarks are all legitimate sources. The more specific and recent the data, the harder it is to dismiss. Step 2. Establish your defensible range. Your data will almost never produce a single number. It will give you a range. Identify the floor and ceiling of what the evidence supports. Your anchor should sit above your genuine target, but within the range the evidence can credibly defend. If comparable data shows a range of 80 to 100, Anchoring at 105 with a brief justification is reasonable. Anchoring at 140 with no evidence invites the other party to dismiss your credibility entirely, and that is harder to recover from than a rejected number. Step 3. Select 2 or 3 evidence points to name aloud. You will not use all your research in the room. Choose 2 or 3 specific data points that together make your case cleanly. More than 3, and you start to sound like you are papering over doubt. Fewer than 2 and a single challenge can knock your foundation loose. Each evidence point should be specific, dated, and sourced. Not similar roles pay around this level, but rather the most recent sector salary survey from this professional body, published in October, shows the median for this role at this level sits at 92,000. That sentence has a source, a date, and a specific figure. It is not a guess. Step 4. Frame the anchor as a conclusion, not a demand. The language you use when you name your anchor matters as much as the number itself. There's a real difference between I want 100 and 20,000, and based on the current market data for the scope of work, the comparable range sits between 100 and 15 and 130,000. My opening position is 125,000. The second version presents your anchor as a reasoned conclusion drawn from evidence. The other party now has to engage with the reasoning, not just react to the number. That is exactly where you want the conversation to go. If you want a practical script structure for high-stakes moments like this, the approach covered in advanced email strategy, persuasion, influence, and high-stakes professional messaging offers transferable framing principles that work equally well in spoken negotiation. Step 5. Pause and hold after you name it. After you state your anchor and its justification, stop talking. This is harder than it sounds. Most people fill the silence with softening language, but I'm flexible, or that is just a starting point, of course. Every word you add after the anchor weakens it. Name the number. Name the evidence. Stop. Let the other party process it and respond. The silence is not awkward. It is the anchor doing its work. Step 6. Respond to challenges without abandoning the evidence. When the other party pushes back, your job is not to defend the number with emotion. Your job is to return to the data, calmly, without repetition for its own sake. A script that works. I hear that. What data are you working from? That single question achieves 2 things. It signals that your position is evidence-based and that you expect theirs to be too. It also creates space for them to reveal what they actually know, which is often less than you fear. If their evidence is stronger, acknowledge it directly and adjust. That is not weakness. That is the kind of credibility that earns trust and makes future negotiations easier. The Advanced Feedback Techniques article on nuance and tone in high-stakes conversations covers exactly this kind of composed responsiveness under pressure. Step 7. Document the anchor and the evidence in writing beforehand. Before any significant negotiation, write your anchor down with its supporting evidence in a single page you can glance at. Not to read from in the room, but to sharpen your own thinking and settle your nerves. When you have committed your reasoning to paper, you will find you hold your position with far more natural confidence. When you are negotiating remotely, remote negotiations introduce a specific complication for anchoring. The physical presence that helps you hold a position quietly and confidently is absent. Silences feel longer on a video call. The temptation to fill them is stronger. The solution is to send your anchor with its evidence in writing before the call begins. A brief, clear email that states your opening position and the 2 or 3 data points that support it gives the other party something to engage with before you meet. It also means they cannot claim surprise in the room. For structuring that kind of written communication effectively, the principles in advanced email strategy, persuasion, influence, and high-stakes professional messaging are directly relevant. On the call itself, share your evidence visually. A simple slide or a shared document with your 3 comparables visible changes the dynamic. The evidence is no longer something you are claiming. It is something both of you are looking at. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when they try to anchor with data. The first mistake: using averages when specifics exist. Averages are easy to challenge because they hide enormous variation. If a comparable transaction in your specific sector, at your specific scale, happened 6 months ago at a price that supports your anchor, that single data point is worth more than a national average. Use specifics. Averages are a fallback, not a foundation. The second mistake: citing the source, but not the figure. Industry data supports a higher rate tells the other party nothing they can engage with. Name the source, the date, and the number. The most recent benchmarking report from this industry body, published in the last quarter, places this category of service between 85 and 100,000. That sentence gives them something real to work with and gives you something real to stand behind. The third mistake: anchoring and then immediately conceding. I have watched good negotiators prepare a strong, evidence-backed anchor and then voluntarily soften it within 30 seconds because the other party looked unimpressed. A flat expression across the table is not a counteroffer. Wait for an actual response before you move. This pattern often comes from discomfort with tension rather than any genuine signal from the other party. The How the Empathy Bridge technique diffuses tension before a difficult workplace conversation starts covers how to manage your own response to perceived tension without reading it inaccurately. The fourth mistake: defending the anchor with emotion when challenged. If the other party pushes back and you respond with frustration or by simply repeating your number more firmly, you've handed them the advantage. Return to the data. Ask what they are working from. Stay calm and specific. Defending your anchor emotionally signals that the evidence alone cannot hold it. For a practical framework on staying composed when a conversation triggers a defensive reaction, how to use the core framework to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction offers tools that transfer directly to negotiation. Your pre-negotiation evidence checklist. Work through this before you name any figure. Every no is a gap you can close before you sit down. Number 1. Have I identified at least 3 specific, recent comparables in my sector or market? Number 2. Does my evidence cover the past 12 months, or have I explained why older data is still relevant? Number 3. Have I established the defensible range my data supports, not just a single preferred number? Number 4. Is my anchor above my target, but within the range the evidence can defend? Number 5. Have I selected 2 or 3 specific evidence points to name aloud, with source and date? Number 6. Can I state my anchor as a conclusion drawn from evidence, not a demand? Number 7. Have I written my anchor and its justification on a single page before the meeting? Number 8. Do I have a clear response ready for the question, what are you basing that on? Number 9. Have I prepared for remote negotiation by sending evidence in writing in advance? Number 10. Do I know my walkaway point so I can hold the anchor without anxiety? The how to use the deal method to resolve disagreements about feedback at work offers a complementary structure for moments when a disagreement about your stated position needs to be worked through systematically. The ground beneath the number. Here is the truth of it. An anchor in negotiation is not a number you throw into the room and hope lands well. It is a position you've built from the ground up, stone by stone, using real evidence. The other party may challenge it. That is expected, and it is fine. What you are doing when you justify your anchor with market data is removing the easiest challenge they have. You simply made the number up. If they want to move you, they have to bring better evidence. Most of the time, they cannot. That is where your strength lies, not in bravado, but in preparation. Before your next significant negotiation, work through the checklist above. When you name your anchor, name it as a conclusion. Then stop talking and let the evidence carry the weight. The how to use the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback and how to use the core framework to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction both speak to the composure this kind of moment demands. Because in the end, the work of justifying your anchor in negotiation is equal parts preparation and nerve. You can master both. Frequently asked questions. What is an anchor in negotiation? An anchor in negotiation is the first number or position one party puts on the table. It sets a psychological reference point that shapes the entire discussion. Research consistently shows the final outcome tends to land closer to the anchor than to any counteroffer made afterward. How do you justify an anchor in negotiation with data? You justify your anchor by gathering comparable market data, recent transaction records, and published benchmarks before the negotiation begins. Present 2 or 3 specific data points that support your opening position. Frame each one as evidence, not opinion, and cite the source briefly so the other party can verify it. Why does a data-backed anchor hold better under pressure? A data-backed anchor shifts the burden of argument. When your opening position is tied to market evidence, the other party must challenge the data, not just your confidence. That is a much harder argument to win, and most people will not attempt it without strong evidence of their own. What kind of market evidence works best for anchoring? The strongest evidence is recent, specific, and verifiable. Comparable transactions from the past 12 months, published salaried surveys, industry pricing reports, and publicly available contract data all work well. Avoid averages when specific comparables exist, and always note the date and source of your figures. How far above your target should you set your anchor? Your anchor should sit above your target, but still within a range the evidence can defend. If market data supports a range of 80 to 100, anchoring at 105 with a credible justification is reasonable. Anchoring at 140 without evidence damages your credibility and often stalls the conversation entirely. What should you do when the other party challenges your anchor? Stay calm and return to your evidence. Restate one or two specific data points quietly and ask what information they are working from. Avoid defending your position with emotion or repeating your number louder. If their data is stronger, acknowledge it and adjust. That is not weakness, that is credibility. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Seek Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emumblickthorne.com to get your copy.